Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
I'd like to go to the last interview of the day, and that is with Mpumelelo Zikalala, founder and director at Zikalala Pty Limited. Welcome, Mr. Zikalala.
Thank you very much for having me.
Mr. Zikalala, the question is, why has Mr. Zuma's medical parole been declared unlawful?
It has been declared unlawful because the reasoning behind him being granted the medical parole was not which should have been conclusive, or which the Correctional Services Commissioner should have relied on. Let's remember, the Commissioner then, Mr. Fraser, is not a medical doctor. It would mean if any application is made for anyone to be released on medical parole, a team of medical doctors would have to make that assessment, look at his medical record, consult each other, and then come to the conclusion in terms of saying, yes, your health, which is in such a state in which we cannot physically take care of you within this particular facility, you are better off at home, hence we are releasing your medical parole. But in this instance, you have the medical parole board, which is a whole team of independent doctors, saying to the commissioner, it's not advisable that you release the former president on medical parole. He is not eligible for parole. And despite that recommendation or warning, then you have the commissioner saying, I'm not going to listen to you medical practitioners. I'm going to take my own treatment, which is not medically based on other things, and then I'm going to listen. Hence, the judgment that we had today at the Gauteng High Court.
So I don't think anyone would be too surprised by the outcome, because I think people were generally fairly skeptical about parole being granted by Arthur Fraser. I gather, and perhaps you could clarify for us, that the judgment also said that his period on medical parole would not be counted into the period of the sentence that he has to serve. Am I correct on that?
Definitely, that's what the judgment said. And according to me, I think that's where the court got it wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Let's remember, the permission to go out of the prison cells did not rely or did not lie upon the former president. It was someone that took the decision on his behalf, who had total control of where he's supposed to go at any particular point in time. So if he is told your application has gone through, it is not his fault that the person who was assessing the application made the mistake. Now let's look at the second part of the detention. Let's look at it in a broader interpretation of what does it mean to be detained. Basically saying, I can't move freely whenever I want to move. I have to seek permission first before I do that. And my movement is restricted. If he then wanted to say, I want to go to Cuba for 3 months, he couldn't have done that because he's still under medical parole and he's still, for lack of a better word, a prisoner. So you cannot then say, just because he did not spend physical time in a jail, that particular point in time or that period in which he's declared a prisoner should be disregarded. It is highly prejudicial against him, and it goes against the principles of fairness of saying, why is he being punished for the wrong decision that was Fraser? And at the time in which he submitted his application, Mr. Fraser should have said, I'm going to rely upon the advice of independent medical doctors who know better than me and encounter medical issues. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to issue this medical parole to you. If you want to go again, then go to court and review it, and then I'll take it from there.
Mm-hmm.
But Mr. Fraser decided that I'm going to disregard that information, and I'm going to use my own discretion, not relied upon on conclusive, tangible proof. And he can't be punished for a mistake which was done by somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
Another issue that I had, let's call it a concern. Let's remember that the medical records, let's say just the general illness of the former president, still need to be protected, because at the end of the day, he's a citizen like you and me, and he deserves to be protected by the provisions of the Constitution. Now, on what basis do we then get the authority to publish, not maybe in greater detail, but the confidential information as to the nature of his illness, how he was treated, and the condition in which he suffered, or the medical status at any particular point in time. I think the court should have sort of blurred or censored the particular information. It should have been only disclosed to the legal practitioner that are intimately dealing with the matter.
Mm-hmm.
So at the end of the day, he's afforded the protection that you and I would have if our matter would go to court, and our medical records will then be the topic of discussion.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Zikalala, what are the criteria that have to be met for medical parole to be granted?
Basically, the independent medical practitioners, they look at whether the physical condition of the prisoner are in such a state in which any medical intervention that has to be provided can't be provided within the prison facility. Let's make a hypothetical example. Let's take someone who is, say, maybe on stage 3 or stage 4 cancer,
mm-hmm.
and they need to be provided or to be linked up in a machine every second or third day, which is not available within a government facility. However, the family or their family is saying, we can be able to take him to a private hospital. We can be able to get better care in terms of him surviving. Or let's take another example of someone who says, I can't physically take care of myself anymore. I need to have a nurse who is going to look after me 24/7. My family is saying they can pay for that particular facility, which can't be provided within the escort prison. On that basis, let us then release you on a medical parole. But we're not going to do that blindly, because you also need to sit and look, what type of crime are you being punished for whilst you are here?
Mm.
Is it something in which it is serious, because every single crime in which a person goes to jail for is a serious crime.
Mm-hmm.
However, it is something in which can be understandable. In this circumstances, it's a person who's going to court after being ordered to go to the particular tribunal, meaning a person who does not listen to the court order, yes, it's something which is serious and something which should be frowned upon, but it is not as if he has killed 10 individuals or 10 breadwinners of a family. So in those particular circumstances, accumulatively looked at, would then say, let us release this person on medical parole. But the most important one, because we're dealing with medical issues, it is the physical state of the individual or the prisoner concerned. Which is why, in this case, then the court said, you shouldn't have released him, because the doctors are saying physically he is okay.
Mm.
Yes, he may be afraid. Yes, he may not have access to what he is used to. But there's nothing which is a cause for alarm or that we should be concerned about. At this stage, we can be able to provide for him. And on that basis, he should not have been released on parole.
Mr. Zikalala, what is available to Jacob Zuma now from a legal point of view, from an appeals point of view? Where can he go?
He can appeal the matter. He would have quite a number of days. I think it's a minimum of 10, between 10 and 15 days to send in his notice to appeal in the same judge that took the matter,
mm-hmm.
and say to them, I do believe that a court which is higher than you, in this case, the Supreme Court of Appeals, will come to a different conclusion. Allow me an opportunity to go and then and plead my case there. And once that appeal has been lodged, or the notice of appeal has been lodged, it then suspends the execution of the order which was given today, meaning that he does not have to go back to prison up until this particular appeal has been completed, which I would think, from a strategy point of view, and if you are pretty sure that at the end of the day, the court is going to side by you in terms of saying, not that you are released correctly, but in terms of saying you should not be punished for a wrong decision which was made by Mr. Fraser.
Mm.
By the time that particular appeal is finished, his time that he would have spent in jail, regardless of whether parole was granted or not, would have come and gone.
Yes.
So it would be a moot matter by the time the case is finished. So from a strategy point of view, I think it is highly recommendable that he goes and appeals this matter.
Yes, that would make a great deal of sense. And as you say, the time is likely to pass and the sentence will be over. Mr. Zikalala, thank you very much for your insights into the case and sharing them with us.
Thank you very much for hosting me. Have a good day.
Thank you. That was Mpumelelo Zikalala, founder and director at Zikalala Pty Limited.